I think we're going to try and get through as much policy that as we can, maybe resolve the policy issues, and then maybe recess and take a look at numbers. But we have you should have in front of you something that looks like this. It says updated May 1st. And this will just be the differences in the policy or what's left to do. Can we have one of the, I don't know, either Carlin or Nita, what do you want to see if we can run through that thing and tell us exactly what it is?
Well, I guess I can start with Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, hang on a second. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to start with the first provision. I think we dealt with that last night. The Bioscience Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program gets passed both the House and the Senate. So I think we won't include it. The second issue. This Bioscience Business.
Okay. Where is this?
Well, we're on R32.
R32.
And the first one, we discussed the first issue difference last night. We didn't include it on our side, but it's passed both bodies, so I think, do we need to include it then?
No.
So.
Mr. Chair? It's passed both houses as a separate bill. So we passed the Senate file on the House floor, I think it was Tuesday.
Okay, so why is that on the bill?
Well, it was the difference, because we didn't have it in the bill. And the Senate file.
So that's taken care of.
Sorry.
Okay, so that's the bio-business one, we're not going to worry about that.
Yep, that's taken care of.
All right. Is it both of those bio-business
no,
ones there?
No, I don't think so. Is it? No.
The second one, Mr. Chair and members, is the language that tries to deal with the Elk Run Bioscience Park to make them eligible
for this grant program. And that's on page R33
on lines 41.12 to 41.15.
And the difference is what? Say that again.
The current way this program is structured, that Elk Run Bioscience Park down at Pine Island can't qualify because it doesn't meet all the requirements for an eligible project. It provides infrastructure through some residential area. And this language gives the commissioner the authority to waive those requirements so that that project could qualify for a grant.
Maybe we should ask the commissioner.
You know about this, Commissioner?
Chairman, Mark Loftus from our staff has been tracking that. I don't know if Mark is back yet or not.
Do you care about this?
We certainly do care. It's my understanding, if Lynn is here, has Mark said this works?
That's my understanding.
Mr. Chair, we'll double check with our staff, but it's our understanding that the proposal works.
Do we know which side works better?
Senate proposal? Senate side or that?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to check and get back to you. I don't.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay, let's go to the next one then.
I think that's on the House side.
Yes, Mr. Chair, sorry. Page R43. Page R45. This is the Green Enterprise. This is a proposal that Representative Stucker brought to further the Green Jobs Green Economy Initiative. And there's actually some appropriation language later in the bill that takes money that was appropriated last year in a special revenue fund that would finance this multi-agency project.
Mr. Chair, I believe did Mr. Coleman ask for this language too, for the counties to also qualify it? Although I think maybe there's an issue with the fact that I split 50-50 this year. There's that language.
We're actually on this one.
Oh, I was off. Excuse me. Okay.
We're on R-43 and R-45, R-45?
No, we're on R...
Yeah.
On the Greater Minnesota Development Infrastructure Grant Program?
Well, that's what I thought we were on, but...
You're on the Green Enterprise?
Mr. Chair, on the R, yeah, we're on the Green Enterprise now, and that was brought to us so that DEEP could have some kind of, bring everybody together, all the different agencies that are working on it. Green energy, and I don't think DEEP has a problem with it.
Mr. Chair, I think, aren't we carrying this in the environment bill?
No.
Well, I believe, isn't this Senator Anderson, I think it's over in the environment bill, so if you want us, I mean, we can do it here, or I believe it's also over there in the conference committee.
Well...
Better do it here.
I'll move it in here, and they can move it over there.
Yeah.
I'll move the health line.
Okay, Representative Rucavina moves on page R-45, line... R-45, this is the one that says Minnesota Green Enterprise Assistance, lines 41.22 to 42.8.
Right here, like this.
Okay, any discussion? Any comments from the gallery? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair, so I can confuse everybody further, we'll go back to page R-43, and that's the Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Program. This makes counties eligible to be grant recipients under that program.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Coleman asked me for this, and I think the only thing I get that members...
Right now, we just...
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
So, members, if you would jump down to the last box.
Yeah, but I mean, it's done.
That's all connected together where it says page R-45, R-47. And that would increase the amount of the grants to, and I would move the entire deal except I'll be kind to the metropolitan area, and it used to be 50-50, but, and I put it back to 50% of the money, had to be made, located outside the metropolitan area, but I'll go back to the 25 then. We should go like 35, 65.
What line is that?
What is that?
43.29. Because I don't want Senator Messon yelling at you, good night.
You know, you sometimes have it covered.
So, Mr. Chair...
That's 75 cities.
I'm sure...
All right, let's do this first. Let's act on the small box of the Greater Minnesota Business Development Infrastructure Grant, and that's pages R-43 to R-45, lines 39.7 to 41.4 first.
Okay. And I would let county be, I'll move that line, Mr. The host line.
Commissioner, step right up to the microphone. You can sit down, too.
Mr. Chairman, members, and it may have been in a separate bill, and I think Representative Gunther was the advocate. Was there a separate provision to allow Minsky Institutions eligibility, and was that covered in a different bill? So that's covered. That's taken care of. Mm-hmm. We certainly have no objection to counties. In fact, that would be helpful, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other comments from anybody? Senator Kielash.
Are we approving the money?
Not yet, no.
No, just the little small box right here, okay?
Oh, this.
Where it says it's the Greater Minnesota Business Development Infrastructure Grant on this comparison sheet.
Within those lines, there's a project.
No, that's coming up. Okay. All right. On Representative Rucavina's motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Now on the last box on this page, it's on page R-45.
And again, members, Mr. Chair, if I could, this was requested by Mr. Coleman, indeed, to increase that amount to $500,000. and it wasn't requested to increase it to 50%, which it used to be. So, you know, in fairness, and the argument was that rural Minnesota couldn't use it all, if I remember right. So maybe we could go, at least 35% that would be for outside the metropolitan area, and I'll amend it to that then and move the rest of
it. Well, sure, can the outside the metro area use 35%?
Oh, I think so. But there's language in there that continues that if there aren't.
Yeah, if it's not used, they turn it back, which they've done before.
All right.
Cave on
I'll
this
give
one.
You one here, Mr. Chairman.
Mulrody.
I fought it then, too.
No, it was back in 07. Because they're always, you know, we produce all the wealth.
We negotiate.
Commissioner Swingle knows that.
Now you're taking it away?
We produce all the wealth, ship it to the cities.
We used to get 100% of computers back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it went down, and then we negotiated 50, and now you're taking it away again.
We changed it back to 25. Commissioner, do you know the history of this?
You can't spend it all.
Does anybody know the history of this 25 to 50% thing? Because I thought we had it at 50. Senator Metzen, you and I.
It was 50-50 to begin with. Then somehow the rural folks stole it all and got 100%. Then I think a couple of years ago we went back to 50-50.
Yeah. So how did it get?
And now we're going down to 35. It doesn't make sense.
I don't care.
It went to 25 in 2007 because they said there weren't enough applications from rural Minnesota, but that's because they refused some.
No.
No. Mr. Chair and rural members on my side, you know how much of a compromiser I am. How I try to be diplomatic.
Well, this better be your last compromise.
Okay. I'll right. Move that with the 35%.
So, okay.
We're picking up that.
Mr. Chairman, this does have a provision of very much on the rural 5%. The other canceled for the metro area, right? So we're sure we're going to use it all.
Well, so we should just take 100, and then what we don't use.
It was 100. We had to flip it back. You were so greedy for a while there, but we
35.
Cleared it up.
Right. Okay, so then Representative Riccovino moves pages R45, R47, lines 42.9 to 43.31, and amends line 43.29 by changing 50 to 35. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion.
Are those on everything, sir?
Let's skip over to the next one. Planning for youth employment. Who knows what that means?
Representative Clark.
Which one are we on?
Planning for youth employment, pages R49, R50.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Chairman, this specifically allows the youth build programs to include environmental projects of green jobs, basically, helping them get ready for green jobs. These are the programs that these folks work with the building trades, and in the past they started out mostly with just the construction industry, then they also included health care, I believe, one year, and another year they added technical computers and that sort of thing. And now, keeping up again with what's going on with job creation, this includes the green job stuff, so it allows them to work with garden projects and other work like that in the community that has to do with energy efficiency. For example, some of the work that our folks are doing with rehabbing housing for and more energy efficiency, some of the federal stimulus dollars. And one of the reasons that's important is the federal government is putting some additional dollars into that whole project.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody need comments on this? Anybody in the gallery, audience?
I think it's returning to the basis.
Let's do it.
Just adds to the quality of
Representative Clark will move the House position on pages R-49 to R-50, lines 48.20 to 49.24. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Motion adopted.
Mr. Chair, the next one will be Representative Mahoney issue.
Representative Mahoney, page R-52 and 53.
Fifty-three.
Lines 51.1 to 51.29.
Read it.
It's enterprise.
It's just. Yeah, I'm trying to find it here. 51.1.
Mr. Chair and members, Representative Mahoney, this is your for enterprise and solar or whatever.
Yeah, this is a. Most all of us have seen it or heard it a couple of times. It expands it to larger companies, and the language in here redefines the matching contributions that companies have to make at their size. So
I think we heard this for sure also in our committee. So, any comments from departments? No position?
Five of us will present.
Okay. All right. And Representative Mahoney moves page R-52, lines 50.3 to 50. Wait, it's not going.
I think you.
Wait, I skipped that one. Which one did you comment?
We're doing both.
Can we do them both?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do that. We'll do both those. Page R-52 to R-53, lines 50.30 to 54. There's two motions.
Set up position.
50.30 to 50.34 is the first motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion adopted. And then on R-52 and 53, lines 51.1 to 51.29. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well, okay, economic development strategy working.
I'm going to create a bipartisan working group to work on economic development strategies for the state. Six senators, six House members, six public members. The hope is to collaborate with the Humphrey Institute and some of their economic development experts over there to take a look at best practices on a variety of other issues that might be important for the state. It might help us find ways to grow this particular economy.
Any comments? Any questions?
More boards. Just
a second. Mr. Chairman, if I could make some questions or comments on that. We certainly appreciate the need for a strategy and are happy to work with a group. Our concern is that we believe, and in watching states around the country that have been particularly effective, that a state overlay to a series of regional strategies are more effective. This economy is different in northeastern Minnesota than it is in various parts of the metropolitan area than it is in southwestern and southeastern Minnesota. And we would propose that perhaps the Governor's Workforce Development Council, already constituted with people from a broad range of the state, some legislators, some members of organized labor, some members of business, some members from the educational community, representatives of the workforce development community, higher education, adult basic education, all be engaged. Because economic development is about a variety of systems engaging. And the Workforce Development Council has a small staff that could assist with this work. Rather than create a new mechanism that has to start over, we like the idea, but we also like some geographic diversity, and we like the idea of having a currently staffed, currently existing entity do the work. And so we would like to suggest that we work with you to draft language that would direct the Governor's Workforce Development Council to convene. We plan to hold a series of meetings statewide to take input. We like the idea. Representative Mahoney has been articulate in asking us kind of what the strategy is. And our response has been our strategy is to work with regions for a network of strong regional strategies. We still believe that's the right approach, but we think you'd like to see a stronger kind of set of statewide principles, four or six or eight principles that tie the regions together. And I don't think that should be done from my office in St. Paul. I think it should be done from a more statewide perspective. And our suggestion, Mr. Speaker, is that we work with Representative Mahoney to draft some language that would constitute this work a little differently.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, Commissioner, you know, this is just a group that would get together outside of the department to make some suggestions on how we can improve our economic development in this state. You know, quite frankly, under Governor Pawlenty, job creation hasn't been very stellar at all in this state. In fact, it's been pretty flat, and I think actually the number of jobs has been lost when you look back at the Perpich and Carlson administrations. You know, all these tax cuts that were supposed to create all these jobs didn't do that. And all this does is this, you know, there's nothing that prohibits you from still getting together with your workforce development councils and doing things that you might think and giving input even into this group. I think it's good to have an outside group look at what we could do to improve our economic climate. And, you know, and Andy, let me say this. You kind of control the purse strings of the workforce development councils, and therefore they're not going to tell you anything that you don't want to hear. So, you know, that's my take on it, and I think that this is, given the economic climate and the job performance over the last 6 years, job creation, this might not be a bad idea at all.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Moore.
If I could add to that, you know, this is not a surprise to the commissioner. I mean, I have asked for a plan. I've asked for some idea of a plan of the plan. And we finally get the conference committee, and now you say, oh, well, yeah, we'll develop one. Frankly, Commissioner, I'm tired of asking for the plan. And we're going to go out and find it and see what other states have been doing, because you haven't come to me and told me that we're willing to work with this and we'll put this all together. And frankly, your track record on that is, I know it's difficult, but I'm just not trusting of the track record. And I would like to have this, because I think this really does get an outside voice in here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we have provided a copy of the Workforce Investment Act plan and of a general strategy for economic development. It's not accurate that I control the Workforce Development Commission. I look over at some members or some active participants in that, and they're pretty independent. If you were going to go ahead with this, we would urge that it contain geographic diversity so that it is as broadly representative of the state as possible. If you pass it, I don't think it jeopardizes the bill, very honestly, and we will be happy to work with the group. We think a more effective procedure is to use a group that already exists and already has a lot of background and kind of a passionate interest. But if you want a legislative group, we certainly will work with them.
Senator Keeley.
Mr. Chair, I think the commission makes a couple of good points, and one is that I'm considering amending this to require the commissioner to supply data to this group and also offer support staff where needed. Throw that out to the committee to discuss, but I think it's, you know, if he wants to help this group, there's no reason why he couldn't do that now, is there? Or that we put it in the law so that it's a requirement.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's actually supposed to be staffed by the LCC. It's a little bit more independent from the executive branch, and that's kind of the purpose of it, is to kind of have an independent voice.
Mr. Chair, I guess what I don't see spending money to reinvent the world wheel. If we've got information indeed that's already there, whatever it is, providing that to this group so we've got a jumping off point rather than starting from scratch and redoing what they're already doing is my point. So that's why I'm kind of considering the amendment. I think the idea that DEED could help support this, it would not necessarily mean that they're controlling it, but this working group would be able to take the direction and only start from a base that's already been here.
Mr. Chair, I think Senator Keeler brings up a good point. Maybe we could
somebody could work staff with the commissioner, and the commissioner brings up a good point too. Maybe we can have some language in there about at least, you know, members must be chosen from at least every congressional district, and at least would make sure there was a geographic balance. We probably have a couple of people in northeastern Minnesota represent Mahoney that could give some.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I'm relatively fine. The plan was to have six senators and six House members that go across the economic development taxes, variety of other committees, and economic development professionals from around the state, whether it's from up in Duluth or Halleck or Moorhead or Rochester or the Twin Cities.
Mr. Chair, some language that supports the commissioner's request for some geographic.
Mr. Chair, we'll work with Representative Mahoney. In other commissions, it simply has said representative of the geographic distribution in the state or something like that. We'll work with you. And Mr. Chairman, it goes without saying that we'll provide any information that we have. And there are some very active groups, the Economic Development Association of Minnesota and the Minnesota Association of County Economic Developers, that will want to be engaged.
And I think Senator Kielash's point about the information that's already available, I would assume you could probably get that anytime you want it to. So,
we'd be happy to confirm. Sure. There's no, it's all public.
So we probably don't have to put it in the language because it's already available. But okay, let's lay that one aside until we got some language that addresses the couple of concerns that we just talked about. Commissioner, are you ready to comment on that first one? Where Mr. Loftus had to give us some information.
I'd like if you could recognize Mr. Loftus.
Mr. Loftus.
He's recognized.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Loftus from Deed. I apologize. I wasn't here earlier when you had that discussion. Could you tell me again the line that we're referencing?
No, we just want to give you your opinion.
Oh, well, short conversation.
We're looking at lines on page R33. The intent is similar, and so I think they're probably both okay. But
that'd be
on line 22.27 on the Senate side and 41.12 and 41.15 on the House side.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand the intent, it is similar. And I believe it derives, the source of this question derives from the Elk Run project, the fact that there were residential project costs that would be counted.
Which one do you like better?
I think, Mr. Chairman, for purposes of general application, the Senate language.
Did we get one?
Mr. Chairman, what was the right answer? I guess I gave the wrong one.
All right. So Representative Rukavina moves line 22.27 on the Senate side on R33. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Is that just one line?
Yep. I think that's all it was, wasn't it?
That's all we got.
The reason we changed the House language was so that we didn't have to get to vote two-thirds majority. Well, that that's still not going to happen with the Senate. The reason we changed the House language from the original bill was that in the House language it required a...
Are we still talking about the same thing?
Yeah, that's talking about the $3 million. Okay. The ability to use the money for health.
I'm just worried that we're not going to end up having a. It doesn't affect bonding. Does it affect bonding? So that we're going to have to get the number of votes that a bonding bill would have to get.
I don't know if Mr. Loftus can help us. I think council has to help us because I think the issue is because that was bonding money in that fund that to change. The use of it would require 81
or 82, whatever it is.
So our language was intended to get around that, so our bill didn't need, with that change, because I don't think we're going to get that many votes. So I don't know. Do we?
How can you get around it?
Mr. Chair and members,
can't get around.
The bonding issue is not a problem with these two provisions. The bonding issue was with the House bill. We actually carved out $2 million of the bond appropriation that had been made, and that's what made the House bill a bonding bill.
Yep. That's not a problem.
But if, Mr. Chair, the issue, according to I believe Mr. Kuhlman, was that without this waiver language, that under current law, this project couldn't qualify for this grant because it exceeded the eligibility parameters of the existing program. And that was why the House put in this authority to grant the commissioner, or the authority for the commissioner to grant the waiver to the program requirements.
So this is Mr. Coleman's language?
This was language that we devised in response to what Mr. Kuhlman told us were the problems with the current law in this this particular project.
Change your mind?
Mr. Chairman, I usually defer to Mr. Coleman in our office. If this was his language, I would I'll take back my comment earlier about the better line. Mr. Coleman is usually right on those things. So.
If that was the concern, then
does the Senate language meet his concerns?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe the Senate language solves the problem that exists under current law in regards to the particular project that was being advocated on the House side, which was the Elk Run.
Okay. So Representative Rukavina moves to withdraw the motion whereby we passed the line 22.27. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Representative Murphy, I'll get the wind water, moves section 13 on the House side lines R33. Any further discussion?
Aye.
Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, adopted. Okay. All right. Transfer special revenue fund. Did we do that right?
Mr. Chair, this is an appropriation that follows that.
This is on page R60, remember.
Follows that green task force language. We got this money from, I believe it was some carry forward money from Commerce, and it was given to us to meet the requirements of that Green Jobs Task Force for these packing regions.
Any comments, anybody?
I also move the section 42 on page 60.
So we haven't got the permission. Representative Rukavina moves section 42, page R60, the House language. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Mr. Chair, maybe Carl can help me. All of the differences in the UI, which you see on page 3 there at the bottom, is continuing up. From my understanding, is President Obermueller now has worked out some compromise language with Mr. Nelson's help, and now he approves of the language he told him to use this time.
It's not Mr. Nelson. We don't want to. Okay, all right. So what's the language?
Do we have?
A worker's comping.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is. I apologize.
I have more.
Thank you.
Representative Oldfield, you want to?
I'm sorry.
Which one is Supreme Court?
Yeah. Representative Oldfield, do you want to explain?
Thank you, Mr.
Lee.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Basically, what we've done is we've taken out that burden of the discussion that Senator Koch and I had yesterday with regard to presumption of eligibility. We've revised it to match more along the lines of what the Supreme Court has kind of already said, that the chapter is remedial in nature and that we're going to construe the provisions that rule you out of coverage narrowly. Still accomplishes the effect, I think, of making sure the tie goes to the employee, which is what we're really trying to make sure we do, because it is a remedial chapter. The language above it on the amendment lines 1.3 to 1.9 are references to this provision that had to be corrected. And these are changes to the House language. And then my understanding from Mr. Nelson is the rest of the House language that we haven't yet adopted was acceptable with those. There's some other changes that were in the House language but not in the Senate. And so if we were to adopt the House language to make this change, and then that would take care of the issue that we were discussing yesterday.
Senator Polk, do you want to move this to you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. We've been working on it.
Yeah.
Good
product. Senator Polk moves the A090568 amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And now, is my understanding that the House language is good for the UI stuff? Is that with this amendment?
That is in. Stricken and in, stricken and in, and in.
Where are we at?
That's where we adopt this.
That happy?
Make you happy?
Mr. Chair?
We have more amendments?
Mr. Chair, I did talk with Mr. Nelson about two other provisions that needed to be adjusted as well. And I think there's, I've got a copy of it, so I hope that someone else has made copies of it already, too. It deals with the unemployment law judge pay issue that we discussed yesterday. And after further consideration, Mr. Nelson and the commissioner's group would prefer to not set the dollar figures in statute at this point, but rather give a deadline for having that dollar figure set in place. The goal here is, of course, to try to put, you know, good unemployment law judges in place, and I think this language does that, so it would be fine by me, and it gives them a little more flexibility. Probably not going to be higher than what I was proposing. In fact, I'm confident it won't be, but it should give us some more flexibility to bring in good unemployment law judges.
So, Mr. Chair, and so, Mr. Representative Obermiller, then, is there still going to be that percentage used, that this will be a certain percentage of a workers' comp judge, certain percentage of a district court judge, blah, blah, blah?
Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, that's the part that would be coming out, and this language would go in instead. And basically what this language says is that we should have the Deputy Commissioner of Employment, Economic Development, and the Chief Unemployment Law Judge sit down and figure out what those percentages, well, it wouldn't necessarily be tied to a percentage, although they could do it that way, but at least determine what those pay scale needs to be in order to bring in the right judges. The 75% is a number that I had in consultation, but it may not be the exact right number. It might be 65 that needs to be done to bring those people in. We don't know. And so that's just what basically says, you guys go out and figure out what the pay chunk is, and the pay scale is going to be, and do it by October 1st, 2009, so that those people start driving the right kind of judges on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, is this for a full-time work?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, this isn't language I saw before earlier, just a few minutes ago, but my understanding is this would still be looking at full-time unemployment law judges, and we haven't, it doesn't really address the issues that you and I spoke about in committee with regard to the benefits, the side benefits, the side from pay, and so I'm not sure that this would actually address that issue needed of the current position.
But, Mr. Chair, Representative, your intent that this would be for law judges that are working full-time?
Correct. That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy, you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, then Representative Murphy moves the A38 amendment.
So, Mr. Chair, just clarification, and so, Mr. Nelson, you'll be setting the pay of the unemployment comp lodger.
Nelson?
The quick answer, the short answer.
No.
Stay there for a second.
Mr. Chairman, I am not the chief unemployment law judge. Mr. Gustafson is the chief unemployment law judge.
So Mr. Gustafson will be, then in consultation with who's in the system, the assistant commissioner?
Paul Moe.
So Paul Moe and you will be setting down.
Mr. Chairman, the language says that the Commissioner of Finance determines it in consultation with the Deputy Commissioner and the Chief,
okay.
But the Commissioner of Finance sets the salary level,
that's
as they do now.
Representative Murphy renews her motion on the 838 amendment. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Adopted. What's the 839 amendment?
Mr. Chair, this is apparently, Mr. Nelson brought this to my attention this morning. Apparently, there's federal language that we struck out of ours that says we're only going to use the unemployment law money for unemployment law purposes. And we had some that we thought was superfluous language in there that we were striking out of statute. Turns out the feds really like that language that says we're not going to use it for something else, and they want it back in, and that's what this provision does. It puts in that language.
Read, please, the language. Okay. All right. Representative Rucavina moves the 839. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. All right. Now, where are we on UI language?
Oh, we're done.
Well, we got to move.
We got to move the house.
So now are we moving the entire House language as amended? Is that the UI provision now?
Where does it start?
Council, where does it start? Where does it go?
R61 is for Article 3.
There was one little section on WIC on page 3 on the side by side for the chart. It's Senate provision, page R67, and it's lines 49.6 to 49.8, and this is a preponderance of the evidence that's not on the House side standard. I don't know if this
did we deal with that, any of those amendments?
Mr. Chair, we did not deal with that. My understanding from talking to Mr. Nelson and Mr. Gustafson is that the balance of the House language was okay with them. The purpose of that preponderance of the evidence, that was Legal Services of Minnesota had initially put that in, but the original intent of that preponderance of the evidence language dealt with whether we're going to have it's basically a standard of proof versus a presumption of a fact issue. We've determined facts on the preponderance of the evidence, meaning that if there's more facts on one side of an issue as opposed to the other, that's how you win. But the legal issues aren't determined that way, so that language is really not necessary. I think we agree with that. So
okay.
That's why the House language takes that out.
All right, so how far am I going to start with it?
And R67 will be...
I believe the UI starts on R63, doesn't it? On 63.32?
Mr. O'Rourke, but we've already done. I believe the language on R61, 62, 63, 64, 65, and 66 up until Section 10 has already been dealt with.
I
the language that you are now looking at adopting begins on R67, on line 68.1 on the House side. It would run all the way from R68 to line 69.21, that chunk. Go to R71, the effective date will have to be reconciled. Then R72 is encompassed within Representative Obermuller's amendment. R73 has been dealt with, 74 has been dealt with, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79 has been dealt with. You would be now looking at R79, House Section 15, which I believe is okay with the department and everyone. R80, the Section 18 language with the amendments that Representative Obermuller did, that's the same in both bills, so that we would be adopting that. R81, you've already dealt with. R82, you've dealt with up to Section 22, but Section 22 and 23 are the same in both bills, so that would be included in what you would be approving. You've adopted the language on R84, R85, R86, now on R86, Section 28, the continued request, that continues to R87, R88, that's the same in both bills, so you would be approving that in this motion. Representative Obermuller's amendment dealt with the differences in the preponderance of evidence issue, I believe.
Mr. Chair, that the Senate version has on page R88, line 71.9, is a provision that also had the preponderance of evidence. Because the House language took that out, that's why it doesn't appear in our side of the bill. So we don't need that language, and so your motion wouldn't be to adopt that. We're just going to leave that out there on the Senate side.
The remaining language on 88, all of 89 has been dealt with, R90 has been dealt with. Section 32, starting on page R90 and running through R91, through R92, R93, R94, that is the same now, that and the same are agreed upon because of the amendments. The UI law judge language on 95.31 to 96.2 would not be in. That was stricken in an amendment. The language on beginning on section 35 on R94, all of R95, all of R96, R97 up through 98.34 has been dealt with. The language on R97, Section 38 of the House Senate didn't have that language, but I believe that's
been agreed to
that resolved, so that would be included in the motion. The remaining language on 97, House language on 98, 99, 100, 101, and 102 up to the repealers and effective dates have been dealt with, and if you would allow Senate Council and I to align the effective dates and the repealers correctly, that would take care of UI issues. So.
Okay, so we are starting on line page R67. So, I think we already adopted. I think R67 is where we start. Okay, so. So, Representative Rukavina moves from page R67. section 11 through page R102 to adopt all of the language that has been agreed upon and as amended that wasn't already adopted, and to instruct staff to align the effective dates and the repealers to commit match the sections. Any comments or questions?
No, Mr. Chairman, I have just an observation. This side hasn't won on anything. And we have not been able to make a motion on this side. We're feeling pretty down here. He'd like to make a motion today, if we could.
Senator Sparks.
Could he hurt?
Not on this one.
No. Senator Metzen, would you?
I would love to, please. Yes.
Senator Metzen will make that motion instead of Representative Rukavina, and you'll move the House language as amended and whatever it is I said.
Ah, boy.
Any comments, questions, or all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, good chunk. All right, what else we got? Hockey's already moved.
Hockey's already moved.
We passed that last time.
I'd like to reconsider that. That was a big victory for you guys.
We went that one, whatever.
You're trained for it.
Where are we on this sheet?
Mr. Chair, we're on page 4 of the chart here, and...
Are we up with all those pages?
No. We're actually on page R148, and this is the Minnesota Science and Technology Economic Development Project. And I think we discussed earlier, maybe this is sort of a version of the previous working group we talked about, or is this something different?
If I might, Mr. Chair, let me get to that particular space, but I believe it is a bit different.
Do we like this?
I think the Senate language is rather permissive to kind of keep a science and technology working group going forward. It's not costing anything. I thought it was pretty good policy from the Senate. They kind of keep them moving forward. So I think this is something that Senator Sparks could move and I could support.
I think Senator Metzen.
He could move it, but it passed our committee and it was a Senator Salzman bill, and it, I don't think it costs some money and it makes some sense. So do you want to make the motion?
Well, Senator Sparks, do you want to make the motion?
Sure. Please.
Senator Metzen put it in the committee. So Senator,
I put it in the bill.
Senator Mark Sparks.
But I don't think it's the same. It's not the same language. The Economic Development Working Group is different than.
Well, this, Mr. Chair, this involves the Commissioner of Deed to lead it, whereas the other one
does not.
Yeah. So there's the.
Are they two separate groups?
Yes, they are two separate groups.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner.
We're very supportive of this. This group, in effect, already exists as an advisory group to our science and technology efforts, and this is not a problem. We're very supportive.
So Senator Sparks moved Section 5 of the Senate language on page R148. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Mr. What's this other one? Did we already
Mr.
adopt
Chair,
the other one?
No.
Well, that's the one we're working on right now, right? We're working on the language on that one?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple things I'm working on, and I can come back to it anytime you want.
Are you ready for it?
Sure, we can do it right now.
Okay. Page R59.
Members, I don't have this written up, but I can do it orally, relatively simply.
Okay, let it hear.
Members, on line, on page R60, line 6.6015. We can start this discussion. After the word group,
insert with members from all geographic areas of the state. So what that would do is that of the 18 members, they have to cover the, you know, the 8 congressional districts, as the other chair spoke to. Or we're keeping it relatively broad so that, you know, if there's a person from the Senate Tax Committee that would want to be on it versus one of the House Tax Committee members, or a economic development person from Duluth or from Worthington.
Geographic better than, geographic better than, is geographic better than progression?
I think so, but I mean, because then all of a sudden you're starting to, I think it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Is that the only one? Is that the only amendment?
Pardon?
Is that the only amendment?
I think that covers the idea.
Was there one other thing? No, we know that was okay, but I thought that was going to be about something else. Commissioner, what did you suggest? You suggested something that Rookie didn't agree with you on.
Mr. Chairman, aside from our suggestion to use an existing group, and if it's the preference of the legislature to use this structure, I think this amendment captures the concern that it be broadly geographically representative of the state.
Okay, but there wasn't something else?
Not that I recall.
Okay, does everybody understand the amendment? Okay, then Representative Mahoney moves to amend line 60.5 after group. Insert with members from all geographic areas of the state. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then, so Representative Mahoney then moves page R59, line 60.4 to 60.30. The House position on the economic development working groups. Any discussion? Seeing none, all the favors in favor are saying aye.
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 Okay.
Do
Mr. Chair, do you want me to continue?
Yes, continue, please.
Mr. Chair, we are on page R153 on the Senate side. This is the University of Minnesota neighborhood development area around the University of Minnesota. This is Senator Pogemiller's bill, an idea.
Any questions or comments on this one? Senator Kielash will move the section 14 on page 153 on the Senate side. Anybody wish to comment on this?
Yes.
Seeing none, all of the favors signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Will move adopted. It's not in the both sides. So there's no House division, so it might be a different. Might be a different.
I want to add another bill.
That's what happened.
It's in the higher ed bill. There's some language members added to this for Duluth also to do something similar on the UND campus in the higher education bill. So I don't think it'll be any problem adopting that between the better practice and myself if you want to carry it.
I do.
Chairman,
do both of
them? Yeah, we might as well carry it. That way you wouldn't want to
do you want to?
Senator Cole.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, is there any dollars attached to the UMD proposal? Same thing.
But maybe Representative Murphy wants to have the Duluth language amended into here, so it's in a couple of places.
Well, I think it should be. That's why I brought it up.
Do you?
But I don't have the language.
Just fine. Do you have the language? We could maybe use it as, and
okay,
skip over this for now and
we'll
add that to it. Let's do it.
That's attached to the barbers.
Attached to the barbers.
The advisory conference.
Okay, Representative Rubio.
Members, the Mr. Shepherd and our research department advised us there were a number of advisory councils dealing with our divisions that were set to expire that are still active, so that's all these are. There's apprenticeship board, OSHA board, there's a couple of technical advisory committee.
It's on page R196, members.
So I would move all of those. The language of the page. Actually, starting on R191. Okay, starting with the Cuyuna County State Recreation Area Citizens Advisory Council, whatever that is. Chair, Article 7 on page 203. Through page 204, 121.31.
Representative Rukavina moves Article 7, Section 1, Section 2 on page 203 and 204. House language.
Can you move over something?
Take that one. All the favors and everything. Aye.
Aye. I think, and then Section 9 on page 204, is that Section 9 on page 204 through Section 10, and those two down to down to 131.17.
Okay, then Representative Rubio moves Section 9 and Section 10 on page 204. All those favors, signify by saying aye.
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 And then, Mr. Chair, on page R207, starting with Section 14, and Section 15 and Section 60.
Representative Vetsen, you want
to move these? Oh, I'd love to, yes.
Representative Vetsen moves Section 14, 15, and 16 on page 207 and 208. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, the next two items are...
Did we get them all? Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, the next two items listed on page 5 are found on page R165 on the Senate side. And these two provisions relate to the construction mitigation pilot program. The first provision requires a road or transit authority to identify the businesses that would experience problems if there was road construction, and to work with them and consult. And then the next provision, Section 17, provides some definitions of what a project is, and then it identifies a business liaison to work with the businesses and between the road construction project. And this is actually, I think, in the transportation chapter. There's another provision later on that talks with the pilot program.
This is Section 16, 17, 16,
yes.
And 17.
On 165 and 166.
Okay, Senator Kielash moves Senate Section 16, Section 17, to Senate side. Any discussion? Any comments for anybody? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Adopted.
No.
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 I, yes.
Let's see what else we got. Wait, wait, do we have, oh, is that, oh, what's the next one, our mitigation?
We did that.
Okay, all right, okay.
Mr. Chair and members, we've got language on page 204 dealing that we got from the Senate. We had different language. We got that language from Senator Bach, who told us his language was better, but now he's checking out and took it out of his tax bill. And
on 207?
On page 207, or 4.
He didn't check it out. He took it out for us.
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
Okay.
Anyway, I'd like to get, is there somebody here? Oh, Mr. Andrews. He sent us a letter last night, or at least I got a letter, and I think we passed it around to everybody. And rather than go to litigation, our original language was fashioned after a plant closing bill that dealt with mining companies. We thought the timber resource was owned by the state. And we had that language, but Mr. Ahern, do you want to make some promises to us and we'll pull it out then?
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mike Ahern. I'm here on behalf of Ainsworth. And as Representative Rukavina has indicated, that there is a provision that is quite troubling to the company, dealing with obligations imposed on the company as it has closed these plants permanently. And think as drafted, it in fact had some legal problems, and rather than litigate it, the company thought it might be more constructive to take some money, and is committed to $150,000 to be distributed amongst the sites as worked out with the affected areas to help in the reuse and resale of these facilities. And we think that this would be a much more constructive way to get on with the use of these facilities than just hiring me as a litigator.
A lawyer trying to get rid of bankable hours?
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Ahern. How did they arrive at the $150,000? Is that how much a lawsuit would cost?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, roughly, yes, I think that was the thought was in order to bring the type of suit and bring it to completion, it probably would be in that neighborhood, yes.
Not more?
Actually, that's probably a little high,
Mr.
frankly.
Chair, I think to retain Esquire Ahern would have cost a couple hundred, maybe $250,000. So, Mr. Ahern, is Ainsworth committed then to keep those plants at least mothballed to the point where not everything inside is going to go to heck? Get vandalized? Are they going to? Because that was the purpose of it, so that maybe deed Iron Range resources for the two plants in the Taconite area, the Bemidji Economic Development Authority, whatever, could work with deed and Ainsworth and try to find somebody, and those plants wouldn't be mothballed and gutted and, you know.
Mr. Chairman, yes. In fact, the plants have been decommissioned in such a way that the fluids have been drained and so that they can be restarted, but they are not heated. And one of the purposes of that was to avoid the significant costs of, as you know, they're very large enclosed spaces. But indeed, they've all been decommissioned in such a way that they can be started back up.
How many plants is this? Or how many buildings is this supposed to be for?
Well, there are three plant sites, Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy. Grand Rapids is one that is not anticipated will ever reopen as a OSB plant. But the community, together with, I believe, the Blandon Foundation, and now with Ainsworth, is willing to help in a very active marketing effort to kind of reuse that site for industrial park purposes. The other two plants are Bemidji and Cook. And they are newer plants and are plants that there have been OSB producers looking at them, but there have also been other potential uses that have been explored.
Chair, that actually, it's Alango Township, which is in Senator Tomasoni's district in line, right at the northernmost boundary. So, you know, that's not Dillon Box area. You got to deal with us.
Mr. Chairman, I am.
So I expect that you talk to Senator Olson and Senator Purcell, and you'll be working with them and Representative Solberg and Senator Saxhog and me and Senator Tomasoni.
Yes.
You and then the company then?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, we'll just leave the language out then.
So we're taking the Senate position on this.
Yes. Would you care to move this?
Thank you.
Okay, what's next? Page six.
Yep. We're at the Dolly building permit fee changes. We took out the. Yes, the
batteries. Did we move this up
to the sun?
No, this was. This is on page R171-72. This was on the Senate side, and it is an increase to the used battery return charge, and I believe this is a commerce provision that you're taking out. So, well, it is.
So, is commerce dealing with this? Commerce committee is dealing with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Huh? So the next provision then is on R 172 to 74.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Do we deal with
Section 18.
Section 18 on page 1, R71.
I'm just trying to understand. No, I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, we didn't deal with this. This is the PFA language that they've requested so that the federal money is appropriated to deed. For their use, and this, I think regards this requested so they could spend federal stimulus money.
Senator Koch moves section 18 on page R171. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Skip the battery stuff. Okay, what's next?
Mr. Chair, we are at the on page R172, section 23. These are changing the building permit fees. And this was your bill?
Must be good. Is this
Mr. Chair, this is the language that
this is Commissioner Swiggum's language?
Yes, Representative Biskins took out on the House floor that we don't want to hurt our former speaker like the Republicans evidently do. I think we can get 3 votes on this side. I don't know if Gunther's going to go for it. I mean, he's hanging with his caucus. we'll catch him.
Is that one section, just section 23?
That is a part of your bigger bill, I think, that's going to file 1277. But this was a section within that bill.
This is just section 23
of
this bill.
Yeah, just the section 23.
There's only one section.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then, Senator, is that part of it? Yeah, okay, Senator Metz will move section 23 and section 24 then.
Chair, yeah. Just to point out that this is The governor's proposal raised about $1 million a year in revenue.
One point.
You're talking about the license fee increase? One's for 1 year and one's for 2 years. Someone went to 2 years, one to 7 years?
This is the building permit stuff with, where Minneapolis and State Farm will make their money, but now Commissioner Swager's gonna make it.
Any comments or discussion?
Several.
On Senator Metzen's motion on the Senate language, section 23 and 24 on R-73, 171 and 172, 173 and 174, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, motion adopted.
$900,000 again.
How much that cost you?
Actually, it doesn't cost anybody with a license, it costs anybody building something.
Okay, all right. What else, what's next?
Representative Mahoney, I think has worked this out with Dolly and,
which one's that?
Article 5, page 6.
Article 5, what page?
There's six on this right here.
Surveillance wage?
R-166, apparently.
On the side by side, yeah.
Nothing's been spoken to me. I kind of like the language that was in there, but if someone's got something to say, or they still working on that? There was a big group on the hall.
Commissioner, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the last provision, too, for the Senate prevailing on that $900,000 building fee permit.
We're winning a few now.
Yes.
A few happens when they complain a little bit?
Yeah, we got two. Mr. Chairman, wait. Mr. Chairman, if I could ask the committee to wait just a second on this provision on prevailing wage and come back to it in just a couple of minutes. We have a couple of attorneys working on appeal language. I think this has generally been agreed to by most of the interests involved by the department. We seem to be going down the same path. We just need a few more minutes to make sure that there is a right of appeal or a right of a hearing that would take place. So if you could wait just a few minutes, Mr. Chairman. In the back
okay,
room.
We'll leave that one aside.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, after talking to the representative lobbyist for the mining industry and to the some of the union presidents this morning, we're not going to pursue the 16 cumulative hours on heavy equipment in the mines, although I think it's pretty dangerous to force anybody to work more than two straight shifts, especially when they're getting off at midnight. But I'll leave it alone.
Could I ask the reasoning behind that, Mr. Chair? Because I agree with you. I think it's very dangerous. And
they've got, Mr. Chair, members, some of the contracts allow for like an 8.5 hour shift, so you could be in the middle of, or towards the end of the second shift and just, you know, shut down on 250-ton production truck and walk back to the drying room. It probably isn't a good idea. And also, you know, this morning talking to the president, we just had another 200 people laid off in Mintac and Hibbing-Tack, and I, we're in Senator Thomasoni's district. These are all in Senator Thomasoni's district, and Senator President Service and myself. They just announced their shutdown where they were going to have paid vacation is going to be extended. So there's hardly anybody working right now. It's the least important thing on my mind.
No, I was just thinking about the last labor world, and there was a big ad for worker safety.
Lots of them.
I saw
three smiling faces.
I saw three smiling faces in that ad.
I saw yours too.
In that ad.
Well, we're advocating for it, but the Senate position is going to prevail here, unfortunately.
Another one you guys wear.
I will cede to the chair here, but I want to know that if someone who's worked 16-hour shift with heavy equipment above my head, and guys working below me with me having pretty heavy tools in my hand, and if I drop one, I hit somebody in the head, they get really hurt pretty bad. This isn't a bad provision.
It's not a bad provision.
We're not going to put it into law. I certainly hope the mining companies understand that they shouldn't be working people a whole lot of extra overtime on some of that.
Mr. Chair and members, all of you, I think they understand that we keep it in mind. You know, there have been people forced to work that retired that, I mean, we're talking about equipment that's three times the size of this room. And, you know, those big trucks, you're three stories in the air and you can do a lot of damage and huge electric shovels and that. So, yeah, I think they're aware of it. But there were those union and contract and master agreement things that entered into it, too. So.
The next provision we adopted last night, we should be going on to Article 8.
Okay. Mr. Chair, do we only have one page 7 today?
We think so. What's Article 8?
This is registration. This is page R178, registration of unlicensed persons. This requires contractors and subcontractors to certain groups to register.
Commissioner, is this you?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Do you want this language?
Mr. Chairman, I think what we would like is we have worked out a arrangement with interests involved and with legislators to find additional monies, which I think you've already passed, to allow us to enforce, investigate the IC law that was passed in 2007. And then we were also going to create a task force. I believe Senator Kilash has language for a task force to replace the Senate language that is here. A task force made up of individuals from DALI, DEED, revenue, labor, contractors, and those who have IC certificates, employees, a task force that would basically analyze, look at what has happened with the law in the last year, look at consequences that have taken place, why people...
So we're using the amendment in place of the language that's in the bill?
That is correct.
To
cut to the short, we have language for a task force rather than the language that's in the bill, to cut to the short.
Senator Kilash moves the 837 amendment. Any questions or comments or discussion? Seeing none, all of the favors signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion adopted. Okay, what's next?
Mr. Chair, now we adopted the next two pieces on the rehabilitation law on page 7, and now we are at the item regarding the targeted community, the old, is it UREP program?
Yeah. Okay. Chairman.
What page?
It starts on page R189.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, we thank you for your waiting on this. We do want to make it statewide, but I want to strike the stricken language.
And where are we looking?
We're looking at R189 under cities. Way on the bottom on the right-hand side of 189. There's very good reasons why that's a very small. If we ever get any money, I'd like to see that language remain.
You mean you live in a second class city?
You know, if you have 1.5 minutes, South St. Paul about 30 years ago lost about 8,000 union jobs at Swifts and Armors in South St. Paul in the stockyards. And we're, I think, the only city in the state of Minnesota declared by the federal government to be in this category. And to this day, we're still fighting back. It's not unlike the range cities where you guys lost almost everything. And that's why I'd like to see this stay in here so we can continue to try to move forward. We're not there yet. It's taken us over 25 years, and we have not replaced those 8,000 union jobs. And a lot of the folks came from the Iron Range, Croatians, Serbians, Romanians, and what have you. And it was quite devastating, and it still is. So I don't know another town that's designated. To be honest with you, this does pertain to South St. Paul.
Mr. Chair, is this direct, does this Senator Ranson's amendment here then?
That's the 840 amendment.
Can I ask Senator Ranson a question?
Yes.
Yep.
Senator, so you want to remove the deleted language and go back to a city of the first class?
Yeah, I want to leave that in there, the first class, or I'm really battling for the city of the second class declared by the federal government, but I...
And what you're concerned about is expanding the program to townships and everything.
No, I don't mind that.
So that's staying in?
That stays in. The statewide significance stays in.
Okay.
But that's what we're doing. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, there was also... I added a little bit to your amendment.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I spoke with the Wade, and this is a sentence in here that pertains to some language we deleted for Minneapolis, so this next sentence was not needed in it. So.
To be clear, this is statewide.
Yes.
I move the amendment.
Thank you.
We got one.
I just have a question, Representative Vincent. I'm just wondering, Representative Muller is here, the person who worked on this. I wonder if he could just explain to us what the meaning of the whole thing was. I'm not sure that you're...
I think he's on another issue, aren't you?
Well,
if you're on this one, just stay quiet.
This way.
Even if I agree with you?
Oh, no, if you agree, you're fine.
I don't think it hurts anything, but I just wanted Representative Muller. This is the same.
Yes.
So it's okay, right?
I'm working with the League of Cities, and they agree that they have no objection to Senator Metzen's language.
Aye.
There. I can't
aye.
Disagree
aye.
With it. All
the 40, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted.
Thank you.
Now do we want to adopt that?
Yeah.
Okay, what are we adopting?
Okay, I believe we start on page R-189.
Section 4? Where are we
starting? Section
5.
Section 5. Section 5, 185, 196, 197, 198, 199, 200, 194.
Yeah.
The bottom of 196. 195 to the bottom of 196. That's correct.
Are we on the bottom box on page 8, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And is that Senator Representative Clark, Mr. Chair?
Postpone this. This is why Representative Muller is here, right? Representative Muller, do you want to explain that?
Okay.
Is there a picture? Because it's really easy to see the picture.
Yeah,
I've got a picture.
If you get copies, it's really the best is to just look at the picture. Pictures are worth a thousand words. Basically, while that's being handed out, I'll just explain what this is. And we've been working on it for 2 years to get it perfected with the Bar Association.
so that it works for everybody. In fact, everyone's agreed on this. The people representing the mortgagors and homeowners, it's great for them. It's good for the banks. What it does is it extends the period when the homeowner can reinstate the mortgage. And so it moves the sheriff's sale back and then reduces the redemption period by the same amount, so that the total time from the start of the foreclosure until the end of the redemption period when the bank would get the property back stays the same. And yet if the mortgagor has almost three times as long to reinstate, which means they only have to pay up the arrearages. So if they are laid off work, or if temporarily if they have a medical, something happens and they're off work, or if they lose their job, they have time to get back to work, earn enough money to reinstate the mortgage, and then they can keep the property. And the banks like it because they don't want any more property on the books than they already have. They want people to pay their loans off, and that's what this does. So it's drafted by the lobbyist for the real property section of the Bar Association. He's actually a bank attorney, and it all works out. There's only 1 week difference between the two methods. And so if that's what's shown on this schematic.
Any questions or comments on this? Okay.
It's good.
Senator Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mullery, we've heard some similar provisions that we did not forward in our economic development division that look very similar to this. We have the affidavit form. Are you aware of these provisions?
I heard that there was one floating around from a certain senator on your side of the aisle that was really didn't work. I won't say what the Bar Association said about that proposal, but it was not very popular. This was drafted by, as I said, this was drafted by the real property section of the Bar Association. This works. The banks are all in favor of this. Steve Johnson's for it from the bankers. Mara Humphrey from the credit unions is for it. There's nobody against it.
Is there anybody from industries to speak to that? Because they had some real issues with some of the stuff that we had.
We have a letter here that I couldn't find either of them yesterday, and so Senator Metzen asked me to get a letter. It's from Keith Sellers saying that both of them have told him to go ahead with it. In fact, Steve Johnson asked Sellers to sign on my amendment for that.
And Senator Metzen likes it too.
Well, I'm not in love with it, but
the concern that we have is we do not want to extend these.
We don't want to
tie up credit. We're trying to get these houses moving because there's a tremendous amount of foreclosed homes on the market.
If you look at it,
but it's a long, same period of time.
If you look at it, the end of the period is only 1 week difference.
Well, Mr. Chair,
they said that they didn't care about that.
Senator Sparks.
The problem that we have, that maybe your idea is okay, but you know, this bill was never heard in the Commerce Committee. We have about 30 other foreclosures floating around. I'm just not sure how they're going to mesh together, so I can't support this bill.
It's okay. Bankers are okay with it.
He's a banker.
Representative
Clark. We did hear it in the committee in the House. I think it had gone through several other committees. It went through about how many, three or four committees. And the point here is really apparently, you know, the people who actually, you know, representing the banks and so on were part of the process and think it's okay. And actually what the good part of it is it really lets the person who's being foreclosed have a chance to have more time to save their home. And then after that, I guess as he was pointing out, there's only 1 week's difference that the bank has anyway. So I know what your point is, but I mean, there's only 1 week's different, and what we're doing is we're building on the front and more time for the person to save their home. And apparently that's why it seems like it works out okay. 5 months rather than...
I thought all the bankers are okay with it.
Yes, okay. Steve Johnson, as I said, told Zeller to sign on the amendment.
Okay. All right, then. Representative Clark moved Section 20 of the House bill. Pages 197 and 198. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion. What's next?
Mr. Chair, we didn't fully discuss this provision. I mentioned the pilot program, and it was part of the adopted. If you need me to.
No, this is the other part of the language, right? So, Senator Metzen moves section 50 on the Senate side of R201. All in favor of this? We already approved the first half of this. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Vote one, adopt it. What do we have left?
Barber, that's a dollar.
Representative Murphy, this, we just adopted the, on page 201, section 50 of the Senate bill. That's the second half of that construction mitigation program that we adopted earlier. So it's just a different part of the statute, I guess it has to be in. So.
Right.
What's left?
Mr. Chair, the next one is the healer, the workforce, the repealer.
We did that. The
1.9. Oh, the arts assistance grant.
We did that one.
Okay.
Which repealer?
Yeah.
And what's that repealer?
Mr. Chair, the arts assistance grants, this was requested by the public television. I think we have a new provision that they put in and want to repeal this.
On page 202, do we know what it is?
R202.
Do you know what it does? Or do we replace it somewhere?
No.
Mr. Chairman,
no.
It was passed last year. It sets up the Arts and Cultural Fund in the public broadcasting area of 129D. And we're repealing that and putting in another new chapter, 129E, which we will be appropriating money from in our subject.
So we don't need this one anymore, would you say?
Mr. Chair, sorry to interrupt, but I believe this is in the House bill on R-151, the same repealer.
Mr. Chair, this is a revisor's, this is actually a revisor request. We struck a subdivision, and the revisor did a repealer for us, and on the House side, they just struck the subdivision. So the revisor requested to do it as a repealer instead of leaving it in the language.
So did we adopt it already? Because I see it's the same language on our one.
Yeah.
So we need the language on page 202.
On the repealer.
Why is it on the word arts?
What page is your language on?
151,
R-151. Mr. Chair, if you look on page R-151.
Is that line 17114?
R-151 on line 171.14. Yes, 171.14. This is subdivision 4 of that section. That's 129D.13. This is the subdivision 4 we're striking that subdivision, so the reviser said they would prefer to put it in a repealer, because you can repeal a subdivision. This is just technical, I swear to you. This is just the way that the reviser suggested you do it. And this striking was a request from the public television in their bill that Senator Thomas had. So this is, we're not... But in our Senate side, when we endorsed it, that's how the reviser did it.
129D subdivision 4.
And that's just...
129D.13 subdivision
4. That's just the language on 171.14 through 16.
Okay.
That matches up with the repealer on the Senate side on R202, 159.4 and 159.5.
So what you struck on page 171.14 to 116 is the same as the repealer.
We just need to have it written out for us over in the House. We just accept that one else's language.
Striking something that's for the arts board.
Might have been wrong explanation. House language is stricken, and the repealer in the Senate language just repeals the House language that is not stricken. Correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. I do not recall the specific purpose of it.
In a couple of weeks ago, you haven't heard anything about it since, I suppose there.
It must be okay. So we want to adopt the repealer 129D.13 subdivision.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative Murphy will move to the Senate position. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. What else do we have?
Chair, we've asked for a report from finance about the costs of co-locating the Colleses and putting them in a state facility to see if it's an efficient request.
Any comments or questions from anybody on section 6 on page 208?
It's done in Village Funds Committee and in my committee.
Representative Clark.
Okay, I just hadn't heard it. Is the idea to, it's a study? Is that what it is?
It's a report on the costs of co-locating the
Are we marrying anybody that wants to get divorced here? Or?
We're not nearly as frugal.
Are the councils,
Mr.
Chairman?
Right now they're all by themselves, and we're trying to bring them together.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. If it's feasible, if it's efficient.
Representative
Murphy
moved. Mr. Chairman?
Hey, can I ask a question?
Sorry. Since I didn't hear this, Representative Murphy, what are the councils interested in? But I haven't heard it before, so I was asking the councils, are they working on this, are they interested in it? Yeah.
Are you okay now?
Mr. Chairman, I believe this is being conferenced in the state government finance, but we can put it in here as well, but I've been told by their, the Senate staff had requested that it be conferenced in state gov because it goes through the Department of Ed Administration.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's not, because you know this is all.
Representative Murphy's move to the House of Representatives on section 6, page 208, all of the papers signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, adopted. We didn't do legislative programming, right? We did that last night?
We're not going to move that, right?
No, we did not.
Mr. Chair, we're not going to move that.
All right. Okay, what else? So what do we got left? We got the barbers and River Center? What do you want?
We have more fun.
No, we're going to do the River Center right now.
Okay. River Center.
Language that cleans that up, and hopefully we'll get that out here.
Welcome back.
A34 amendment, and what it does is on R200 in the House language, let me get to that page real quick here. It's just technical language that clarifies that the pretty much we limited ourselves to revenue bonds. Payments must be made by the leasee under lease amounts equal to the amount loan forgiven after 12 years. Must be used solely by the city to pay or finance the design, acquisition, construction, equipment of a public facility to be located Block 39, Marina Tax Increment District. Essentially, it's across the street from the XL Center. Creates a hockey, an ice sheet in this session. And as I understand it, the bond council for the city needed that language. And then this section is effective the day after the St. Paul City Council and its chief clerical officer comply with Minnesota statute. Probably even blah, blah, blah. And as I say, the city's just trying to clarify the remaining payments and is still committed to this particular function.
Comments or questions?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no. Okay. All right, then Representative Mahoney moves the A34 amendment. All the favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. All right. That amended the House language, so Representative Mahoney, you want to move the House language as amended?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
All right. Representative Mahoney then moves the subdivision 6, page R198, the House language,
R201.
Okay. Alright, Representative Mahoney moves section 20 as amended. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, perhaps we should take back the barber board now?
The barber board. What page is the barber board?
And I think I have an amendment.
We'll call you up when we want you. Okay?
Oh, all right. I didn't know if he was up in there. Mr. Chair, it's on page 153.
Give the cosmetologist their a fee increase that I think the governor has supported, along with a special events permit requested by the cosmetologist that was explained last night before when they have like proms or weddings or whatever, and they go off site and use that fee, and they technically can then do their work. So that's what this amendment would do.
Anything else?
No.
Any comments or questions from the committee? Representative Rick Levine moves the 836 amendment.
Mr. Chair. Representative Riccadina, are they limited in the number of special events they can do in a year?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Could a cosmetologist just do special events?
Well, we'll have the director of the board come up and answer that, because I don't know what the intent was here.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, at this time there is no limit.
Say your name.
Oh, Gina Staus, Director of the Barber and Cosmetology Board. There is no limit at this point. However, they cannot, in order to renew a license, they need to work so many hours in their three-year renewal period, and the hours that they would put in doing these special events would not count towards their renewal. So someone could not do this in lieu of working in a licensed salon. In essence, we're trying to avoid mobile salons.
Yeah.
That's what we're...
Without the investment and liability insurance and so forth?
Absolutely. So this is, I believe it states... That is what the intent is that they will not be able to use the hours in the special events arena to renew their license. They need to use hours in a licensed facility.
Mr. Chair, but in the first 3 years, then, they could be a mobile salon person for 3 years, and then...
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, if they submitted their renewal notice without a licensed salon number attached to where they're working, that renewal would get denied. They need to be working in a licensed establishment in order to accumulate the hours for renewal. And this would not be considered a licensed establishment. That's why we called it a permit instead of a license as well. And the other item on here is you have to be a manager, which is 3 years of experience, and take a secondary test in order to offer these services. You can't be an operator, which is right out of school, and... You know, up to 3 years. Not everybody becomes a manager, but to get this permit, you would have to be a licensed manager as well. Okay. Mr. Chairman, can I clarify one thing as well, that you had asked if there was anything else in this amendment? Online, I might have a different version than you. I think you guys passed out a different one. Where it
My line is 1.9, where it says page 161, line 20, after, quote, cosmetology, insert manicuring or esthetology. This would allow a manicurist or an esthetician to sit on the board. Currently, the way that the law is written, only a cosmetologist can. So at this point, the governor is unable to appoint a manicurist or an esthetician, and that's what this would also do.
That's it? Murphy likes that. Okay.
Murphy, what's the law? I'm just wondering what an esthetician, whatever that is, what is that?
That's, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that's like facials and skin care services. Where a cosmetologist can do all three.
Anywhere near like you do.
But just a, Mr. Chair, just a manicurist or a esthetologist.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, currently, regardless if the board stay together or separate, there's only three appointed on the entire board, so it wouldn't be in... It doesn't state a cosmetologist or a manicurist. It says a cosmetology, comma, manicure or esthetiology can sit on the board. I don't think we would advise for all estheticians on the board, but
maybe some governor had
that's all that does concern me. Have you seen Governor Valenti's nails?
Do we have any kind of report about this? I suppose we could get a report about your experience with this in a year or two, right?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, absolutely. I mean, we could. Well, this will be a specific permit, you know, and a different license in our licensing system, so we'll be able to produce accurate numbers as well as enforcement pieces and how many people are actually doing this.
Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, Representative Brookavina moves the 36th Amendment. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Adopted.
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of other matters. The first one dealing with how the barber fees are going to go up like all the other fees, right? So. And so,
on language,
these are just some.
Any comments or questions from the committee? Wait, this is a fee increase on barbers.
Mr. Chair, is that what was existing already, or is this an additional fee for other services?
It's a change of all the fees that are already.
It's a change of a.
It's an increase of fees that are already in the bill.
Already in the bill.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see.
Well, no, it's an increase of fees, period.
They're not new fees, they're just an increase in fees that already exist. Right?
May I address this, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely.
I submitted the fiscal note on the fees, and if this is in interest of splitting the boards, I am concerned that the increase in the fees is very minimal. And the amount to the, I think it was roughly right around $20,000 is will only be generated from this. I had heard that this was going to be coming, and I was anticipating more of a $25 increase in order to give more funding to the barber board if they were going to be independent. That's just my concerns, is the fees are not enough. This has not been presented in front of my board at all, so I can't comment on their behalf, but in regards to looking at the $188,000 base budget, this won't give a whole lot more.
Mr. Chairman, there's going to be a couple differences. After July 1st, they're going to rent office space at the Kelly Inn. Lower cost office space, which is better than what they had before they moved the cosmetologist. And they're going to have one staff person who, if necessary, will handwrite the license renewals the way she used to do it in 2.5 weeks, hand type. So with only 6,000 members, they can do things a little more frugally, they claim.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, when looking at the split and talking to the fiscal analyst, and in regards to how you have the current language drafted, and it states the board would transfer staff members, the way that it just in researching it is two current staff members would be transferring to the Barber board, not one. Is that's under the current how you have the transfer of staff right now, because nobody can lose their jobs based on the split for up to 6 months. And so when we look at the combined board as a whole, when it would be separated out, two staff would be transferring. That would be what would be advised from the fiscal analyst. Is true, two would be transferring, and that would be two administrative staffs, not considering an executive secretary.
Mr. Chairman, before they had executive secretary, which is more of a board position than anything else, and they had one person who did the clerical work and one person who was the inspector. Now, if you lose one inspector, how many inspectors will you have in the cosmetology board?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, currently we have four inspectors that have been with the board. One just retired, so we're down to three at this point. And with the hiring freeze and not knowing where this agency is moving, that retirement just happened last week. So right now we have three. So,
Mr. Chair, I don't know which fiscal analyst, because neither of our fiscal analysts told you that. So maybe somebody from finance told you that. But the language members on page R63 on 136.21, the 136.23 says the Board of Barber Cosmetology Examiners must designate to which board each employee will transfer. So you can designate which one, and if the barbers designate one, then they will get one.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, when you look at how the board is structured right now, and unfortunately our finance person is not able to be here, the way the staffing is divided out between the cosmetology appropriation and the barber appropriation, two come out of the barber's funding levels currently, and that's what it was before it was merged, was two. One was executive secretary who processed the licenses, and one was an inspector. So that's what it was prior to the merger as well. So it would be transferring two staff. Now, the two staff that potentially would transfer would be a licensing staff and an inspector, not what would be titled an executive secretary, because I'm the only one in the board that is in an unclassified non-union, which is a requirement of the executive secretary position.
Mr. Chair, counsel is advising me that the language is broad enough to use.
Okay, the on the 837 amendment, Representative Rosalino owns the 837 amendment. All of the favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No.
Now, Mr. Chair and members. Now, Mr. Chair and members, I move the host language on the Board of Barber and Cosmetology and the divorce council as amended in the House language.
Is there comments? We haven't heard from the barbers yet, I don't think. So, do you want to make some comments?
Well, sure. You know, it was said, I believe, that the barbers on the board didn't support this move, but I believe this letter is from one of the barbers who's on the board. And is this letter, Ms. Schmidt, has this letter been passed around, everybody?
Yes.
No, we haven't seen
identify
it.
Yourself.
My name is Peggy Schmidt, and I am the director and owner of the Minnesota School of Barbering. I'd like to read the letter from the board member, if I may.
Can you just tell us what it says?
What it says is I'm in favor of separating the Barbers and Cosmetology Board. I have concerns about how the office has run. The barber board was self-supporting before it merged with the beauty board, and we feel that we could be self-supporting after the board is separated again. It says that there's chaos in the office and that there is chaos among the employees, and we don't want to be a part of it.
Okay. brother's worried about the child custody.
Yes, you know, aren't you? Yes, I am. And the cost.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, and there's other reasons in the cosmetology part of it too, but the fact of the matter is that the barber board for the state of Minnesota was the first barber board established in the history of the country. I think 1894 was when it was established. And it functioned independently and was used as a template for the rest of the entire nation. And then Representative Gunther, in tough times, thought that he would merge those boards to save money. And it's his initiative that merged them. He wants to now separate them again because they've been doing nothing but fighting. And I've had barbers yell at me, and I've gotten bad haircuts.
I wouldn't use past tense.
No, there should be an amendment in this before we move to this today. Representative Rukavina and I should not have to pay the same amount for a haircut.
Mr. Chairman, there is a...
Your hair looks a lot better than mine.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. Chairman, they do have finder's fees in the barbershop, however.
You have what? What?
I can understand why you don't want to pay the same for a haircut, but we also charge finder's fees.
Oh, she's not on my side. What's the page and line or whatever, what's the section what? Including section 11 and 12 on page R205. Any further comments or discussions? As a measure. One last note. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman? No, I just want to make sure that I understand, because since we obviously had trouble implementing what was understood 4 years ago, is that...
I don't think we have an explanation for you.
Just that the offices will be separate, and they will not have any interaction whatsoever. I mean, that I just want to make sure we're clear, so I don't have to come back next year and say I'm doing something wrong that is not...
Mr. Chairman, to my knowledge, that is very correct.
Okay.
We will not as of July 1st, we will separate the building and the...
Okay, that's it. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Chair, now, these are new numbers because of what we just did with the fees, including the special events fee and the barber fees, and then the original fees that were approved in the governor's recommendations. So just because of all of the fees,
so
the numbers change.
Because of the fees, there's no change to the bottom line other than what we see right here, but we paid for them, so, right?
Well, there is
a... I mean, there's a change to the bottom line, but we paid for them because of the
fees, all
right?
Fees are paid for.
Yeah. Okay, so Representative Rook, we're going to move to the 841 amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
What do we have left?
Workforce development fee.
workforce development.
Let's quickly take a recess.
Yeah, let's recess for about, let's say, till 4 o'clock.
No. I'm leaving at 4 o'clock.
Okay, leave it at 4.
4 then, okay.
We're done at 4.
We're recess till 3:45.
3:45. Just we'll take a recess, okay?
We took out the majority of things that they had mentioned.
I bet the word difference is in this.
So I told them,
should we bring them back?
Well, we need to go find the board. And you can't simply say, these are all the things we don't want, and not expect us to say, look at this, look at this. They don't want to have that. We roll that mat out numerous times. I meant that.
Well, I mean, the totals would be the totals at the bottom of these columns. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, down from the base.
Jensen
is going to go over a spreadsheet with Senate Council and Pepsi's
We got to get the thing.
You need to be back on
the show. Okay. Earlier.
No.
Right.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah,
where are we? Well, 95 is probably the general fund thing that we transferred to the employees and girls.
What's the number?
I can't see.
That's right. But these are pretty simple.
We just don't know where we're at. Yeah, no. Just go to the spend another $50,000. Picked up that bunch from that barber.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff that they already do. That unlicensed contract is coming. They did the barber stuff. Of course, the building has changed. This was current.
What's that?
This is what the cows had originally proposed.
This is from 1 to 1.2?
Yep.
How much?
Ha ha ha.
Anything else?